Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. As you know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. Yeah, baby. It's fun to play with the music, because the music is playing with us, always swirling to us and through us, recalibrating our consciousness, our vibration, and the way that we feel. Welcome to the show once again. This is your host, Davey. Yeah. And I love you, and I cherish you, and I appreciate you with all of my heart, because these are the vibrations that we choose and we deliberately decide to tap into. Now, today's show, we're going to have a very special guest, and she's going to be calling in just a minute. But before we get into that, I want to, stress is not the right word. I want to focus on the importance of healing your mind, your body, your soul, and all facets of your consciousness. We are going through a tremendous shift here on the planet at this time. And you are being asked to heal. You are being asked to release old, suppressed energy, pain, patterns, programs that no longer serve your highest and greatest good, that no longer serve your ascension process. So the best person that I thought I would ask to join me on today's show in regards to healing, because she's so wise and she understands how the human mind works, is the one and only Dr. Michelle. How you doing, Doc? You are...
I'm doing great, Davey. How are you today?
I am great. I did some healing this morning, so I'm feeling awesome.
Good. Thank you so much for having me on today. I sure appreciate it.
No, thank you for coming on the show. You know, it's really an honor every time, every opportunity that we get to have you come on the show. I just get so excited because I know it's going to be such a fun show. We're going to dive into so many facets of how to heal human consciousness, both energetic and physical, which are obviously intertwined. And I know that you're a master healer, being a psychologist.
Okay. Thank you. Very kind of you, my dear.
Well, it's true. It's true. With every single person that you see and every single person that calls in on the show, I listen to your show every Friday at 11. Make sure to check her out. Friday at 11, channel 1, LATalkRadio.com. Every Friday at 11, I always listen to your show. And
all the people
that call in, all the listeners... You heal every single person that calls. You heal them.
Well, I hope I can get some positive messages across. And I have amazing guests and authors and psychologists and medical doctors and all these other experts who I get to interview, too. So hopefully they help people at the same time.
Oh, they do. They absolutely do, just as you do. And, you know, I really want to, first and foremost, before diving into today's show, I want to thank you for having the courage to be a warrior in the sense of facing people's darkness and teaching them how to transmute that into light.
Thank you. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that.
Well, that's the true testament of a healer. Okay. That's exactly what a healer does. All a healer does is reminds another human being how they can transmute their own darkness into light. So
yes.
I'd like to actually start today's show off with a concept that I know we have spoken about before, not on the show, but in the times that we've grabbed lunch and gotten coffee and gotten to spend time together, we've talked about this before, and it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to talk about is the misconception that a healer is the one doing the healing.
Right? Exactly.
So I'm going to lead this concept actually into a question, and then I'm going to shut my mouth and just let you roll.
It's fine.
So the question that I have for you is, when someone is seeking healing, is it from another individual, when someone goes to see a healer or a psychologist or any you know, a doctor, I mean, any form of practitioning that revolves around healing modalities, would you say, in your professional and wise opinion, would you say that it is the healer that is actually healing the person, or is it the person that's using the healer as a conduit to heal themselves?
Good question, Davey. But I would say definitely, in most cases, except for some medical doctors, here come my exceptions, I would say it's the latter. You know, doctors, we as psychologists, and I can only speak from what I do, are conduits. You know, I don't tell people how to live their life or what they should do. What I do is I suggest to people what has happened with other people in the past to help heal them. So I have to, you know, read statistics about what practices help, what seems to be really good. And then, of course, you know, there's all these different, as we call them, orientations. Cognitive, behavioral, spiritual, mindfulness, all these different parts of psychology that we get to teach people to help them heal themselves and feel better.
Yes. Yes. How powerful is that?
Yes,
how
it is.
How powerful is that? And how beautiful is that of you to...
Oh, well, thank you.
It's true. to take that leap of faith and know that you are actually giving people the tools that they need to recalibrate their neural pathways and the way that they perceive themselves, the way that they perceive others, and the way that they perceive the world. Because everyone has their own interpretation of, oh, well, I would be better if my parents didn't do this to me. Well, that's a victim state of consciousness. Instead of saying, my parents provided me the valuable lessons of contrast to show me, and I'm just using parents as an example. You know, you can use relationships, you can use brothers and sisters, you can use a relationship with a boss at work or even someone else in your life that, you know, anybody, literally anybody, right? I'm just using this because... I have gotten and received emails and had healing sessions with people that does revolve a lot around what their parents, quote unquote, didn't do or what they did do to cause this deep-seated pain. And they said, well, I would never be like this if they didn't do this to me. And my response is, well, they gave you the power of contrast to decide that this no longer serves you.
Right.
So that's...
I agree. Yeah. That's good advice. That's beautiful advice. But I help people on my end bridge the gap between understanding. See, it's hard for some people, I think, Davey, to just say thank you for the contrast of my father being an alcoholic or my mother beating me every day of my life and making me feel worthless and unloved. And see, what I try to do is bridge the gap. And because from childhoods, This is our first indoctrination into the world. What we get from our parents, caregivers, whoever they may be, grandparents, aunts, uncles, one-parent family, whoever is raising the child's going to, really from those experiences, take in how they feel about themselves.
Yes.
Because we're all children and we're all coming from a very high place. But as we learn into our lives how to interpret some negative things,
yes,
then we take things into our own ego needs. And some of those things are not good. Those messages translate sometimes into, I'm not lovable.
Yes.
I'm not worthy. I'm stupid.
Right.
You know, especially if we have parents who don't understand how greatly it affects us.
Oh, it's so true.
So what I do is, as bridging the gap between, you know, your practices, what I do is I try to explain to people that we all have problems. Our parents all have problems.
Right.
They're people. as children, of course, we look at them as gods. You know,
right.
These people are going to help me survive. What they say is the gospel truth, no matter what they say. And I kind of say that as kind of figuratively and literally.
Yes.
You know, some parents are very, you know, religious-based, which is beautiful because it teaches this morality.
Right.
But sometimes there's a lot of shame and guilt and sin and, you know, oppression within that because that's what they've been taught.
Yes.
Now, these are my beliefs. I'm not putting down any particular religion because I think it's very important to have a connection with a higher power.
Yes.
But I really think that we as adults, if we're suffering, and I know you receive, you said you receive a lot of emails from people who say, how can I, and you do healings with people who say, how can I get over this anxiety and stress and low self-esteem and suffering from being abused or being going through horrible parenting? And I really try to help people understand that parents are people. And they
yes.
come into this world and they're taught by their parents how to survive. And maybe they didn't have it so easy. And to learn a little bit more about their parents' upbringing, if they can.
Yes.
And what they, you know, had to do to survive emotionally. So
right.
our parents may not be the greatest, most loving parents because they have unresolved ego issues about their own self-worth.
Yes.
And their own ability to completely love. So we have to give understanding, and I know it's very difficult, but understanding that they're just people too who did the best they could. You know, I think most people are basically good and they mean well, but I think a lot of us are taught, you know, from our parents some unhealthy ways of dealing with problems.
Yes.
So that's what I start out to help people through is just to also, you know, just try to understand that they did the best they could with what they had. And people say to me, but Michelle, my dad beat me and he was drunk every night, or my mother was on drugs and checked out. She couldn't raise me.
Right.
And I said, that's the best they could do with what they had. No, they could have gotten sober and they could have, yeah, they could have, but they didn't have the strength. They didn't have the coping skills.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you have to, as the next generation, you have to stop the chain of abuse, of low self-esteem feelings, of a lack of love. You have to be the one in your family or help your siblings as well. Understand that when you start your family, you're going to be loving. You're not going to make those same mistakes and make your children feel unloved or like uncared for, demeaned, unworthy. You're going to do the best you can to make them know that they're loved.
Yes.
And yes, as children, of course, bringing up children, you have to have guidelines. You have to keep them safe. You have to give them time out so they don't do things that will hurt themselves or others. Yeah.
Yes.
Of course. It's called good parenting, drawing guidelines, behavioral modification. But when we get farther down the line of being adults and we've had abuse or we've had tough childhoods, what we have to do is move into understanding and insight about who your parents were or your caregivers were, whoever they were. And then the next step is understanding that, you know, I know that I have some voices in my head, little, not literal, some people do, but those little voices that say, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough.
Right.
You're not going to be, you know, perfect enough. You're not going to be smart enough. I know I have those messages, but the messages no longer serve me.
Yes.
And what we have to do is find our strength within ourselves to know that we are worthy and lovable and strong and we are smart. There will always be tough times. There will always be bullies in school. There will always be people who hurt us as we grow up into adolescence, friends who desert us, friends who betray us, girlfriends, boyfriends who hurt us, cheat on us, make us feel like we felt growing up, unloved, uncared for.
Yes.
But we've got to get to the point where we can say and get in touch with who we are within. And
yes,
you teach this, Davey, which I really love. And you say, we are all spirit. We have a higher power within us.
Thank you,
as
Doc.
Low as we feel sometimes, we have to take time out to know and get in touch with. And whatever it takes, being alone.
Yes.
Listening to good music.
Yes.
Looking at nature. Again and again, getting in touch with that part within us and saying, I am good. I do deserve. I'm part of the universe. I'm part of the higher power or spirit or whatever you connect with as a higher source.
Yes.
Yes. And that higher source does not want me to suffer any longer. It's not who I am. I'm here to learn and love and enjoy and learn is pain, and that's okay. It's normal.
Yes.
But not suffer with anxiety and depression the rest of our lives.
Right.
So it's getting in touch with who we are.
Yes.
And, you know, at the same time, it's important to take care of our bodies. You stress that a lot. I know you're a very healthy eater. You always tell me what you are, a vegan, and I... I know you harp on me a lot of times about what are you eating? You know, what are you putting in your body? But
I
emphasize that the body-mind connection is strong, so I help people try to eat as healthy as they can. They don't have to become David Collins. They don't have to become Davies and, you know, look at everything on the ingredients and be a vegan, but they can become healthier.
Yes.
Exercise. Do a little weightlifting. Use those muscles.
Yes.
Use that vessel that you came into this earth with the best you can.
Yes.
And, you know, again, you don't have to become a super health fanatic. But
of course.
Just try to do the best you can. And that also means learning how to moderate, you know, drinking.
Yes.
You know, and drugs.
Absolutely.
A lot of people who see me, what, Davey?
Please go on.
A lot of people who come in to see me in my office, you know, say, I use cannabis to chill, and it's medicine, you know. But there's a numbing that takes place sometimes because you're not fully aware and conscious of feeling things. And it's important to feel. You know, it takes us to another chill dimension with the cannabis. But we have to also give our bodies a break.
Yes.
And actually feel feelings, no matter how uncomfortable they are sometimes. and go back to, again, trying to heal ourselves and understand that, you know, we are part of that higher spirit or source. Even if you're not a religious person, you know, we're all connected. Look at how beautiful it is outside. Look at this place. Look at the trees. So you live in the city, take a drive. You know, take a drive and look at the beautiful, you know, trees. Go to a forest. Go, if you're on a coast, go to the beach. Take in nature as a higher power.
Yes.
Heal yourself with that as well. So
beautiful.
Understanding others, how we were raised, and how we learn to survive. Most of us take on anxiety, and some of us take on depression. And we learn to worry about trying to control everything happening in our lives and our own thoughts.
Yes.
So as adults, we have to say, you know what? I have to breathe. I have to slow down.
Yes.
And I have clients that come in and say, oh, I'm doing 12-hour days at work.
Yes.
Okay. Take some downtime.
Yes.
Eat your lunch. Get out and take a walk. Give yourself a break on the weekend. Take some time to take care of yourself. You can't control anybody.
Yes.
The only person you can control is yourself and your thoughts.
Yes.
And your emotions and your behaviors.
Yes.
That's all you can control. You can't force others. Again, as a parent, we can teach our children and, yes, put them in time out. And that's how we can control others so they'll be happy beings. But for the most part, as adults, we have to just control ourselves. And by control, I don't mean shove things down. I mean allow unpleasant thoughts and feelings to come up and let it go.
Yes. Yes. Beautifully said, Doc. I mean, really beautifully said. And you know what? What energy comes up with trying to control our children and trying to make them do things that are somewhat against their will, somewhat against what they know is right for them. See, we forget as parents that our children know always what's best for them. They're guided by spirit. They're guided by higher self. Now, obviously, they don't always know what's best for them in the sense of, oh, I want to jump in the lake and go down, you know, or I want to jump in the river and play with the rocks. And, you know, obviously, there's a boundary that's drawn. But I guess what I'm talking about is in regards to following their passions and knowing what they enjoy. And, you know, if you're grown up in an environment where your parents or the people that raised you or just, you know, your brothers or sisters, if they were not supportive of you following those dreams, it becomes very difficult to, without this practice of understanding and without this practice of forgiveness, which is also a huge part of healing, and without this practice of letting go and knowing that, just like you said, our parents are people too. And they have their own suppressed stuff that they're working through, but kids don't see it that way. But if we continue to forget that they're their own people and we continue to take on what they say and their own projections onto us, well, that's when we end up living for someone else, regardless of who it is. That's when we end up taking our actions, making our decisions, revolving our entire lives around, you know, what someone else thinks is right for us, as opposed to what we know is right for ourselves. I think, you know, that's another facet of why people are stuck in a rut, is they're holding on to old thought patterns and belief systems that they think, oh, well, my father said I have to be this, so I have to be this, even though I don't want to do this. And then we start straying away, and then we start doing something else, but then we lose the support from the people that we get the most support from, because they're saying, well, I want you to do this. And even though, let's say, our mother or father or the people that raised us, a brother or sister, was successful in one area, and they say, well, do this, you will be supported, you will be successful, you will live the life of your dreams if you do this. And then if you say, okay, I tried it, I don't like it, now I'm doing something else, a lot of the times, unless you have very understanding and loving and compassionate parents that just want you to be happy and want you to follow your dreams, and, you know, a lot of the times the parenting ego will get in the way and they'll say, no, you know, you can do it, but I ain't gonna support you. You know, you can yeah. do that, but I know because of my experience that if you do it my way, you'll be happy. And I think that's where the misconception comes. And that's where a lot of the depression comes, is people don't know how to let go and heal themselves from the dogmatic belief systems of what others have placed upon them throughout their entire lives.
But, and, you know, that's a good point. I feel, though, that sometimes I think the parents have been through their own issues and they've been through their own trials, and, you know, people have worked really hard to get to where they're at, and they want their kids, honestly, genuinely, to be successes.
Of course.
And I've had patients come in to me who are so stressed out and overwhelmed, and, you know, kids who were medical students, and say, well, my dad was a doctor, my mom was a lawyer, my mom was a doctor, or whatever, and they expect me to follow in their footsteps, but I can't keep up. It's not my passion. It's very hard for me. And, you know, a lot of resentment comes up. And, you know, things like that. I hear a lot of young adults who are really trying to do it. They stick it out. And I say try to hang in there if they're, you know, really trying to support you in this. But if you're absolutely trying your very best, you know, and you're not really, you're failing at it's just very hard for you, then perhaps sometimes we can, you know, try to help them sort of segue or find something that they would be able to, you know, do well at on their own. And you're right, you know, there are some parents who say, well, if you know, I had one patient once who actually, his father was a doctor at a very prestigious hospital here in Los Angeles, and his mother is a psychologist, and they said, you have to be a doctor, to the son, you know, you have the gifts, you have the tools, you're really smart. And he loved computers.
Yes.
He was more of a tech genius, actually.
Yes.
And he got into medical school, and he did not like it. It wasn't his vibe. His parents wanted him so badly. His father said, I will usher you into the hospital where I work. I will get you these wonderful positions. You know, do this. And this young man was just suffering so much because he just couldn't... He couldn't do it. So he actually sort of passively aggressively failed his anatomy classes 3 times.
Right.
Now, I know he could have passed them, but he was trying to, this was his way of crying out to his parents, I can't do this. I don't feel that this is my passion. And I could do this, and I could probably, you know, but they said, you're taking the easy way out. You have to live life the way we've lived life.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very hard for them to accept that he just couldn't cut it, nor did he want to. So he went on to get his PhD in technology. And he also got a biology degree. So that sort of appeased the parents a little bit because he knew about medicine.
Right.
So now he's sort of found his own way, and he's working for this biological company as a technician. So he's sort of blended the two, and, you know, this company is finding cures for illnesses and things. So, but he's a happy guy because he's doing what he loves. He's creating programs. So
that's beautiful.
That's just one example of so many people who, you know, go through and try to please. I think for the most part, though, parents really try to push their children because not necessarily that they want them to live in their shoes and want them to live their life, or the parents want to live through their children. I think that they just want the best. And if they can help them, like this one young man's dad, my God, I mean, there's all these medical students out there who would love a dad who has a really good position in a major hospital and could get them in there, you know. But he just wasn't going for it, so, you know.
Yes.
He worked it out his own way. Which brings me to another subject, which is about he came to see me because he was beating himself up so badly. He felt so unappreciated at, you know, and he felt so controlled and so angry at his parents. And I worked with him to understand forgiveness and understand the point that I was just making, that it probably isn't about the parents' egos and how are the parents going to look in public if they have a child who's just a IT expert rather than a doctor or, you know. So we got through that, and he really understood and had better communication with them. And, you know, they worked out some things. I had one of the parents come in and chat with me. And so it worked out pretty well to where he got rid of a lot of his guilt. And he forgave his parents, and he forgave himself for not living up to what they expected of him.
Right.
So forgiveness, self-forgiveness, and forgiveness of others is a huge step.
Yeah,
but it takes work. It takes work to do that.
Yeah, forgiveness, you know, is a big thing. Forgiveness is a big thing. You know, that's one of the themes that, if I can be completely open and honest with you at this time, and honest with the listeners that have...
Well, you always can, Davey.
I know. I love it. But this is, you know, on a personal level. Of course, I'm always honest with everything that I share and that I speak here. And in life, I just, when it comes to personal things, that is something I'm working on right now, is self-forgiveness. I'm learning how to forgive myself for being and doing some of the things and being that person that I look back on in the person I am today, and I say, how could I have done that? How could I have taken that action to, even though it was satisfying to me at the time, how could I have actually taken that action which caused this type of ripple effect to affect this person in a negative way? How could I have done that? Oh, I feel so bad. I feel so guilty. Now that I've been practicing my and consciously and deliberately practicing spiritual practice every day, whether it's through recently in the last week, I've been doing morning sadhanas, which is you get up around 3:30 in the morning. Sometimes if you need to, you can, you know, get up around 6 or 7. And, you know, you do Kundalini yoga, you do breath work, you do sound healing with singing bowls, you do Om meditation, so all this stuff. And that's really been helping me in the last week with strengthening my energetic field, strengthening my aura, strengthening my core, and letting go of a lot of the suppressed pain that I've been holding on to. But before I started that about a week ago, I'd like to give a shout out to a brother Miko and sister Biji from Live Avala Now. You can check that out. Check them out on Instagram. They are the inspiration for these morning sadhanas. That's at Live Avala. That's A-V-A-A-L-A Now. And you can also check out avala.com. That's A-V-A-A-L-A.com. The site just launched, and it's all about fifth dimensional consciousness and high vibration living, and really, really beautiful and empowering subjects. But just to come back, I just wanted to give credit where it's due. You know, before practicing those sadhanas, I had my own form of spiritual practice where I would meditate at night. I would meditate when I woke up in the mornings, You know, I would give my gratitude. I would listen to Abraham Hicks. And these are all forms of meditation. You know, sometimes I would take a cold shower. You know, they say
right.
that taking a cold shower assists in eradicating the ego. You know, it keeps your ego at bay. Like when you get that shock of like the new climate, it actually does affect the ego. I mean, it humbles you, you know?
Yeah.
It humbles you.
Yeah.
So when
that's sure
it does, yeah. When in doing these practices and then being thrusted into doing these daily sadhanas for the last week, I've really been focusing on self-forgiveness. I've really been focusing on those circumstances and instances in my life where I've said to myself, "Oh,
yeah,
you know, I know I
good for you,
thank you." But what you got to do is you got to realize that is a parallel version of you that is no longer who you are today.
Right.
And that's what
really
helped me.
And do you suppose that these are lessons that you needed to learn to be who you are today?
Absolutely. What a great point. Yeah. Absolutely, I had to be that person at some point in my life to where I could look back and feel regret and feel shame and feel embarrassment.
Yeah.
So I can learn that lesson, so I can feel that feeling of how shitty it feels to be this way and to look back. And so I will never make those mistakes again. I will always know and I will always remember those feelings of, oh
right.
my goodness, I can't believe I did that. Oh my goodness, you know, I could have done it this way and it wouldn't have hurt this person. Or I could have just said no, or I could have said yes. And, it, you know, whatever it is, it's just all about, you know, it is that we are in a constant process of expansion. We are in a constant, ever expanding flow of becoming more, you know, and that's just what it is. And
I agree.
And I bless those experiences. I bless the old me. I bless the younger, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, earlier 25-year-old me. I bless all of these versions of me because I understand that everything I did to be who I am today. And everything that I do today, I'm becoming sharper. I'm sharpening my blade of consciousness, if you will.
Good for you.
But everyone has the opportunity to do that. I'm not just tooting my own horn. I'm saying this is something for everyone to do. Everyone has the opportunity to change up their daily routine and do some spiritual practice to heal themselves, to forgive themselves, to embody a greater light, to embody a greater joy, to embody a greater knowingness of the source in which they are.
Yes, that's beautifully said. You know, and some people do need to keep learning the lessons over and over. They need to keep making the same mistakes.
Sure.
And until they get tired. Some people will not learn. Some people will continue the behaviors and, you know, their lives possibly won't be as joyful as others. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it is, you know, it is just, like you said, Davey, is self-forgiveness is very important, and you know the practice, the spiritual practices, are so important. And what I always try to teach, sort of, as we're getting closer to, you know, evolving in my therapy, you know, sessions with individuals, is just love that which you are.
Yes.
And that's part of the forgiveness.
Yes.
Love that which you are.
Mm.
Because
so powerful.
Here's the thing, and I always say this at the end of my show, is we have to take care of ourselves first.
Yes.
Physically and mentally.
Yes.
We have to take care of ourselves first. That's why we're here on the earth.
Mm.
And then we'll be great for other people. We'll be better for other people to just be in their lives, to help them along, to love them. But we have to love that which we are. And it's a tough road for some people because of all those negative messages they've received and the pain that they've suffered.
Yes.
And I start out by teaching them how to at least like themselves. What do you like about yourself? What are your special gifts that you have? What brings you joy?
Yes.
Yeah. So exploring all the special things that we were blessed with on this. And some people have to really dig deep to find some of the positive things within. So we go general. We go general, as Esther Hicks would say, I guess. But we go general with what in your life right now can you say, wow, that's pretty good.
Yes.
The smallest thing, you know.
Yes.
I have a bed to sleep in.
Yes. It's so true. I have clean water to drink.
On the other side of the world or in the streets here in Los Angeles.
Right, right. It's like I have clean water to drink. I can bless this water with my focus and with my thoughts. I can actually change the molecular structure of the water as proven to us by Dr. Masaru Emoto. You know, when he did the crystallization of the water experiment and he wrote the words on the water bottles, you know, I love you, thank you. And then he also wrote, I hate you, you make me sick. And the molecular structure of the water was absolutely altered. You know, there was a very clear distinction of the perfect geometrical formations in the water molecules of I love you, thank you, you know, and I am beautiful versus the negative ones. The negative ones didn't even have a geometric structure, which meant, and if you think about it in universal terms, it's out of alignment. It's not in alignment. Alignment is perfect geometry. Everything is geometry, you know. When we look at ourselves and when the ego gets in the way and the ego says, oh, you should have done this or you could be doing this or this, that is obstructing the perfect geometrical alignment that you have with your higher self. Because higher self is always saying, as we've learned through many other teachers, including Abraham Hicks, higher self is always saying, you are perfect just as you are. You are, you have the limitless potential and the unconditional flow of creation flowing to you and through you at every single moment, each and every single day, at every single time. It's just this, it's this knowingness that everything is in alignment. But when our ego gets in the way and tells us otherwise, oh, well, if like, you know, reverting to our example in earlier in today's show, if my parents were only this, then I would be this. Well, your parents allowed you, or whoever those figures were in your life, allowed you the opportunity to see exactly what you don't want to be. So, and then they did show you facets when they hugged you, or they loved you, or they kissed you, or they did whatever. That is great parenting, you know, or not. Exactly. Well, that would be the contrast, you know. So that's what all that revolves around. And Doc, you're just such a wise woman, and I'm so grateful to have you as a guest on today's show and on you know, the Vibration Station. And anytime you want to come on, I really love having you on here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love talking with you because you're an old soul and you have such wisdom to bring.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. And
you're an old soul.
Thank you. I'm glad you used the word soul at the end.
You are so funny. Well, that's your ego talking, Doc. You are.
That's right.
You're getting younger.
And the ego, by the way, is just survival techniques. It's okay. It's not bad. It's how we survive. Techniques we use to survive.
It's learning how to build a healthy relationship with the ego. You know?
Yes, and loving ourselves and trying to reparent ourselves to be, you know, the loving parents we may not have been or got received, rather, and, you know, just reparent our own child within us and love ourselves and give us the nourishment we need, you know, within ourselves. And there's a whole technique that I talk about, you know, which is reparenting, and it's an old concept as well, but basically it's filling some of the gaps that you need to, that you never really received. And like you said, Davey, loving that, you know, self and just trying to empower yourself and knowing, you know, who you are. So it's loving, you know.
Yes.
My two most powerful words to help people is loving self and others and allowing others. You must allow you can't control. The only thing you can control are your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions and your behaviors. You, yes. No one else.
Yes.
And so love others, try to understand, try to have empathy, love that which you are, and allow others their truths, their mistakes. Allow them.
So
allow
true.
Things to float by like clouds.
Mm.
Very zen, you know.
Super zen. I mean, that's why, you know, the Zens, they know what's up. You know, the people that practice Zen Buddhism. It's all about, you know, understanding the chi of the body and understanding how the thoughts affect the cellular structures of your body. And it's in alignment
right.
with all that. You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer was really into Zen. You know, that was his
yeah.
thing. And
yeah.
Although he's no longer with us on this physical plane, you know, he has ascended into heaven or higher dimensions of compassion and love and greatness and more
mm-hmm.
beautiful experiences. But, you know, it's all really about, just like you said, practicing that Zen flow, knowing that everything I experience and everyone I experience is a holographic projection of my consciousness, is a vibrational equivalent
right.
to my vibration. And if I choose to change myself, then my exterior surroundings must change.
Yeah.
It's not even a
yeah.
question. It's just a knowingness.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
a knowingness.
I agree, Davey.
Doc, it has been such an amazing show. And truly from the bottom of my heart, I cannot thank you enough for sharing your wisdom, sharing your compassion, sharing your love, and sharing with, you know, everybody exactly who, you know, who it is that you truly are, and opening up and giving your heart to the world to heal, to heal everyone that's a vibrational equivalent to receiving your healing energy. So I love you, and I cherish you, and I appreciate you beyond words.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Davey. It's just a pleasure to talk to you always. And I send much love to you, and I thank you for all that you do for others.
Thank you, Doc. And make sure every Friday at 11, tune in to Dr. Michelle here on LATalkRadio.com, Channel 1, Friday at 11. Love you so much, Doc, and we'll talk to you soon. Woo!
Bye-bye.
Bye. Love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Once again, all the unconditional love, alignment, happiness, compassion, laughter, joy, abundance, and excitement from our hearts to yours. Have a beautiful, blessed day. Feel free to email us at davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at goodvibestation. Love you guys so much. See you next week. Peace. Mwah.